from Matthew chapter 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Here ends our text for this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The season of Lent centers upon our Savior's death on the cross for our sins. Yours, mine, the sins of the whole world. As we heard at the beginning of the service, we are invited to reflect upon our own mortality, our own sinfulness, which Christ willingly took upon Himself. The ashes are a reminder that when Christ dies upon the cross, He is taking the punishment that we deserve for our sin, the punishment of death, returning to the dust and the ashes from which we were created. And yet, even as we begin the very first day of Lent, we do not lose sight of what comes at the end. Because of Christ Jesus' death, we do not die eternally. Even if our bodies become ashes, they do not remain that way. Christ will resurrect them on the last day. And so looming always in the distance during Lent is that hope and that joy of Easter. But I invite you to focus for a moment on the cross. Surrounding the death of Christ on the cross were miracles that perhaps when we read them, we do not even realize that they were so. Or at least, maybe we simply read over them and they don't stick in our mind as something miraculous with everything else that is taking place. We focus at the Traore service on Christ's words from the cross. But in addition to those, as Christ is speaking, miracles are taking place unlike at any other time. Throughout the day, as Christ hangs there, the temple curtain is torn in two, the dead are raised, darkness covers the land, an earthquake splits open rocks, and more. So during this Lenten season, we will focus briefly on each of those miracles, the significance that they held, and how they can help us as Christians focus during these 40 days on our Savior crucified for us. From Matthew 27 again, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours. It was at about 9 a.m. in the morning that Jesus was nailed to the cross and crucified. And there is a flurry of activity that we know well from our times past in Lent. Between those 3 hours from 9 to noon, so much is taking place. The scoffers are there. The thief on the cross is in conversation with Jesus. Mary is placed into John's care as his mother and he her son. But then at 12 noon, with that one little verse in Matthew chapter 27, the entire mood and tenor of Good Friday changes. The sun is blotted out from the sky, and darkness covers the land. Not just for a moment, like an eclipse, but for 3 hours as Christ hangs there. From noon until 3. Whatever had taken place previously in those 3 hours in the morning with people bustling about, shopping in marketplaces, preparing for the Sabbath, going out to Calvary to see and to mock those crucified there, that ended at noon with the arrival of darkness. We can only imagine the silence and the nervousness and the murmuring that would have come over the people. And as the darkness hung there, it was during this time that Jesus cried out, asking why God had forsaken him. It was during this darkness and silence that Jesus cried out, "It is finished." It is during this darkness and silence that Jesus commends his spirit into his Father's hands. And then, as Christ breathes his last, as quickly as it came, the darkness left. We may be tempted to hear the account and look for some kind of explanation as to how this darkness could have hung over the earth. An unusually long eclipse, unlike anything before. A heavy cloud cover, whatever excuses people may come up with to explain it. It couldn't be. And even afterwards, the secular authorities could not figure out what had happened. Tertullian, a second century church father, writes to his secular adversaries this: "At the moment of Christ's death, the light departed from the sun, and the land was darkened at noonday, which this wonder is related in your own annals and is preserved in your own archives to this day. Recorded by even the heathens who could not understand what they had witnessed." As people of faith, though, we don't have to explain from any point of view how something like this could have happened. The darkness itself serves as a message that is best proclaimed rather than explained. The darkness indeed proclaims a message, one that Jesus' opponents themselves had asked for back in Matthew 16 when they said they wanted to be shown a sign from heaven. God shows them a miraculous sign, and it proclaims his judgment directed toward the spiritual darkness that led up to Jesus' crucifixion. The world plunged into a physical darkness that matched the spiritual darkness of their hearts. And not just those gathered at the cross or outside Jerusalem, the whole world. Because as the scriptures confess, it is all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so on Good Friday, one half of the world in night, the other half plunged into night, so that total darkness encompasses the entire world. God himself, speaking his judgment in that darkness against the world's sin, the world's unbelief, the world's hypocrisy and hatred. A judgment in the darkness. A judgment against you and me for our sins as well. And yet, a judgment that was not poured out on us in that darkness. We who deserve it. We who committed the sins that demand that punishment. Instead, that darkness was a word of judgment that ends up being spoken against God's own Son. Because Christ had willingly assumed unto Himself the sins of the whole world. He was hanging there in your place, in my place, and with His cry of "It is finished," the darkness and the judgment of God was complete. And it was done. And the price paid in full. God's judgment upon the sins of the world had been carried out. And so, as swiftly as the darkness had arrived, it was lifted once God's judgment was complete. And the sun began to shine again, like a glimpse of Easter on that Good Friday. That light, as well as the resurrection in Easter morning, indicated that the price for sin, which had been paid for by the Father's Son on the cross, had been accepted in full. What followed the darkness was a message of hope, a message of peace and joy, and a message of light. Just as John proclaimed at the beginning of his gospel, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Today on Ash Wednesday, we stand at the beginning of a season designed and incorporated into the church year to prepare us to remember and receive again that great work of God for our salvation on Calvary's cross. As we prepare and ponder and reflect, as we take in the miracles of Lent, may it always be with rejoicing at what God has done for us in and through Jesus. Christ Jesus, who has led us out of the spiritual darkness that we were born into God's light of truth. Jesus, who took the darkness of God's judgment upon Himself so that we might always have the promise and the hope of the light of eternal life. As children of the light, we come to these midweek services offered during Lent so that by the power of the Holy Spirit we might rededicate ourselves to a life of service and of worship. It is our rightful and grateful response to the gospel, the message of the cross, the blood poured out there, the gracious gifts from our Father of forgiveness and salvation. Our grateful response to the new life that we now have in Christ, who overcame the darkness and the grave, so that we might walk in the light and the hope of Easter. In His name, amen.